Thank you.
Hey.
It's hard to keep smiling when somebody's smiling, isn't it?
Do you know what? Because I'm just, because I've noticed when there's a lot of people.
Okay, the gospel reading, it's a tough one today. It's from Matthew 5, beginning at verse 21. Matthew 5, verse 21 to 38. You have heard it. No, let me try it again. You have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder. And whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you will be liable to the council. And if you say you fool, you will be liable to hell, the hell of fire. So when you are offering your gift at the altar, if you remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother or sister, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are on the way to court with him, or your accuser may hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you will be thrown into prison. Truly I tell you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. I told you it was hard. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, tear it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one of your members than for you to for your whole body to go into hell. And it was also said, whoever divorces his wife, let him give her a certificate of divorce. But I say to you that anyone who divorces his wife, except on the grounds of unchastity, causes her to commit adultery. And whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard it, that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not swear falsely, but carry out the vows you have made to the Lord. But I say to you, Jesus says, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. Well, that was before chemicals. Let your word be yes, yes, or no, no. Anything more than this comes from the evil one. I told you. This is the word of the Lord. May God add God's blessing to it. We pray with me, pray that the words that I speak are faithful to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, that which you hear is that which the Spirit intends for your ears this day. Let us pray. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. For 3 weeks now, we've been hearing Jesus' words in his Sermon on the Mount. 2 weeks ago, we heard the Beatitudes, where Jesus blesses the disciples and all who are poor in spirit, all who mourn, all who are hungering for and thirsting for righteousness. I suggested that we are the ones that Jesus blesses. Jesus also blesses those we fear or may not like. I suggested that following Jesus means blessing others who trouble us, just as Jesus has blessed us. Last week, we heard Jesus naming us as the light of the world and the salt of the earth. His followers let their good works be seen. I suggested that in this very place, this church, we learn how to be in relationship with those who are different from us, who have different opinions than we do, and who see things differently than we do. Because we are followers of Jesus, the light of God shines in and through us as we go into a divided world, and we are that light all the time, whether or not we intend to be. And then last week's text continued with Jesus saying the laws and the prophets of the Old Testament remain, and we're expected to keep them. We heard in our text today, as examples, Jesus lifts up the law about murder, adultery, divorce, and taking oaths. Now, many of us might think that we're off the hook because we never killed anyone, or because we haven't committed adultery, or because we know what the Bible says about how to get divorced legally, or because we do not make promises falsely. We are good people, and most of us try to keep the laws of the Bible. But then Jesus makes it harder. He says, even if we're angry with our brother or sister, we will be liable to judgment. If we insult them, we could be summoned before the council. And if we call them a fool, we are liable to the hell of fire. He says we must work to reconcile with each other before we come to the altar or get to court. He also says anyone who looks at a woman with lust, and I'm going to add anyone who looks at a man with lust, has already committed adultery in their heart. Poke out your eyes, cut off your hands, rather than committing these sins. Divorce? Well, if we get a divorce and get remarried, we commit adultery. We also commit adultery if we marry someone who is divorced. And then Jesus says, don't even take any oaths proclaiming your honesty. These words of Jesus were harsh in his day, and they still are today. If you see God as a harsh judge, writing laws we cannot hope to keep, ready to punish us all the way to hell, these verses confirm it. However, my friends, there is a different way to experience the law and who God is. First of all, I want you to hear that many scholars today think he was using hyperbole or overstating what he wants his followers to hear. So don't go out cutting your hands off. But God also wants us to hear that these laws are a gift. God wants us to be in relationship with us. God wants to be in relationship with us, and God in Jesus Christ loves us and wants the best for all God's children. And God knows when we break these laws, we hurt ourselves, each other, our families, and all our relationships. When we break these laws, we cause division even in the church, the community, the nation, and the world. We don't have to murder someone to kill them. Hear that? We don't have to murder someone to kill them. On this Sunday, when the children are among us, most of us know our anger can cause us to hurt them. We know sticks and stones may break bones, and we know names can break spirits and souls. We know the language we use with our children, the way we talk to each other in our families, in the church and the nation, affects our relationships and can cause divisions that break God's heart. God does not want for us such anger, such hurt, such meanness. So God gives us laws to save us. Jesus strengthens the laws for his followers so that we might live in a way that lets his light shine in the world. We are the little gospel light that shines everywhere we go.
whether or not we intend it to be that way.
These same things about how we cause division with our words can also be said about adultery and looking at lust with each other or at each other. They can be said about divorce and remarriage and breaking our oath. We hurt our families, our community, our church, and our nation when we do not keep the laws of God, the laws that God has given us. Jesus takes relationships seriously, and I hope we do too. He is right. We need to work on our relationships. We need to make up with one another, to care about each other, to be careful about what we say on face to face, on Facebook, in tweets, and behind each other's backs. Let me remind you that as I say these things to you, I want you to remember that I am divorced. And I know I still hope for another marriage for me. However, I know my divorce ended not only my relationship with my husband, it also affected our families and our friends and the church where John and I were church youth leaders. Even though I was living in St. Louis, and we weren't involved in that church as youth advisors anymore, there is no doubt that our divorce trickled down to those kiddos, and I'm sure it affected them. Divorce, whether in a marriage, or as we ghost someone, or as someone leaves the church community, my friends, can be the best of two or three hard options. Sometimes breaking relationship is the best thing we can do. And as one who has broken relationships, I also need to remember that the first words Jesus spoke to his followers on that mountain was that he blessed his followers. He blessed his followers, we who mess up, who are outcast, who are poor in spirit, who mourn, and who, though we have caused brokenness, continue to work for peace. Remember also, Jesus blesses those we have hurt and who have hurt us, those we fear and those who fear us. Jesus takes relationships seriously, and he blesses and loves all of us. Amen. Will you pray with me? Oh God, our God, thank you. Thank you for helping us in our relationships. Thank you for holding our feet to the fire and sending your Holy Spirit among us to guide us to do the best we can in all the places where we are. God, we do confess that sometimes we break relationships. And we know, Lord, sometimes it is for the best. Forgive us. Forgive us and help us to hear again your blessing. Oh God, we need you. We need you in all the places where there's division in the world and in our own lives. Oh God, we need you to help us to talk with one another, to support each other, to care for each other,
Help us, O God, to be faithful in your world, even on down in our, to our families and to ourselves. O God, let peace come. Give wisdom, compassion, and care to the leaders of nations. Be with those who are very much affected when we do not show care and compassion for one another. Open our eyes, dear God, to what we do when we break relationship with one another. In the best ways possible, Lord, help us to do better. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. God is good. God does bless us. God blesses us with more than what we need in so many ways. And so we are invited to respond to God's goodness with the giving of our gifts, the gifts of yes, the money that helps this church keep on going, and yes, the work that helps this church keep on going, and yes, the work out in the community that lets our light shine. O Lord our God, in so many ways you've blessed us, and we are grateful. And it is because you have named us as the light in the world that we go out into the world sharing your goodness, your love, and your compassion and care. Receive the gifts we bring, those who sit here on the altar, and the promises that we have made this day to be the people you have called us to be, followers of Jesus. Amen. I made another change. We're going to sing number 21, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. It just seems that that's what we need to hear at this moment. Did I mess up on the song? Oh, well. We are the salt of the earth, called to flavor the world with God's love. We are the light of the world, called to shine our light in the world. We are God's blessed children, Sinners all are we, called to follow Jesus as closely as we are able. And my friend, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you God's peace. And I invite you to greet one another more fully today, since we didn't have the passing of the peace. So say hi to your neighbors, okay?